Welcome to Eurasia. It is really a privilege for us here in the Eurasia region to have you visiting us and making this your home. And we really, really want to welcome you. It is very fitting for us to have this global theology conference here in the Eurasia region. Especially fitting to have it here in Holland, in the Netherlands. And let me tell you why. This you may not realize this, but if we are to draw a circle within 1,000 kilometer radius, a lot of stuff related to what we're discussing about happened in this circle. Just about 100 miles, 150 kilometers from here, Arminius was born, and this is the country where Arminius ministered. And just less than 1,000 miles west of here was the place where John Wesley, developed his ministry. A ministry that now we are discussing as part of our tradition. And less than 1,000 miles southwest of here, we experienced one of the most liberating movements in Christianity through the Reformation, thanks to the work of Luther. So it is very fitting that as we enter into the second century of life of this family called the Nazarenes, and as we examine the roots of our church within the tradition of the Protestant church, and within the Protestant church as part of this family that has strong roots in the Wesleyan Arminian tradition, that resulted in the Methodism that then evolved into the Church of the Nazarene, it is very fitting that we are here. So we're really happy to be witnesses of this very important time in the history of the church. And we pray that just as this part of God's creation became the epicenter for the movements that revolutionized Christianity in the Middle Ages through the Industrial Revolution, we pray and hope that this meeting is going to be the epicenter of something that is going to provide the strength to the movement of the Wesleyan Arminian Nazarenes for the 21st century as we enter into the second century of life. So welcome to this epicenter. And it's very fitting that the ones who are going to host us during this evening, the ones who have hosted during these 3-4 days of joint gathering, are our brothers and sisters from the church in the Netherlands. You probably have heard that people say that Europe has a great history, Christianity in Europe has a great history, but a bleak future. We're here to prove to you that they are wrong. We are here just to share with you that even though what I just mentioned is part of a great history, the future is even brighter. And to celebrate grace, the grace of the future, it is my special privilege to introduce to you Dr. Arthur Snijders, who is the district superintendent for the Netherlands district. And he's going to lead us through this wonderful moment of devotion and celebration. Welcome, Arthur.
Here you are. We feel so honored and privileged that you have come to us. When we talk Nazarenes, we're only a small district. 12 churches, 13 churches, 1,800 members. That's all. And here you are, Nazarenes from all over the globe. Brothers and sisters who are witnessing a movement of the Spirit in their countries. You have traveled many hours. You worked so hard on obtaining your visas just to be here and to be together in these days. And it means such a lot to us that you grace us with your presence. I get so fired up when I listen to your testimonies and the stories of your churches. And I think, what a grace that God has brought you here with us, for us to receive from you. It would have been far easier for you to go to places that were easier to reach and to larger districts. And yet, you've come to us, to our districts and to our region. So thank you. And together with you, we want to celebrate the grace of God. And I would like to invite you to stand up and to sing that beautiful song, "Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven." Our Heavenly Father, we stand in awe before you that you have extended grace to us. And Lord, that when we receive a full measure of your grace, that you have so much more to give, that you encourage, Lord, us to go out and to share with others and to expect an even greater measure of your grace, of your love, and of your redemption. And Father, we would pray that you would touch our hearts in such a way that nothing will hold back the work of your Spirit in our lives, in our churches, and in our communities. Father, we pray that we will sense, not just tonight, but as we also prepare to go home to the place where that we call home, but Lord, that you would give us an experience of what it means to experience the length and breadth and height of the love of Christ, which surpasses all understanding. Father, help us to make not ourselves and our understanding, but to make you and your revelation in Christ and the work of your Spirit the measure of our imagination and our worship and our plans. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. And we want to reflect for a moment on the Word of God. The theme tonight is grace stories. And we want to tell a little bit about the grace story of the Holiness people in the Netherlands. This year, we will commemorate together the 40th anniversary of the Church of the Nazarene in the Netherlands. So we want to share a community grace story with you. These are not just individuals that you're going to listen to, but they represent many more, not just in the present, but also in the past. Now let me remind you, grace stories are not success stories. Amen? And grace stories are not predictable stories. I mean, coming to the Netherlands is, I think, a wonderful experience. But coming to the Netherlands means that you are entering a thoroughly secularized country, where the church over the last 40, 50 years has steadily, consistently lost thousands of members, year after year after year. We are in a spiritual desert. But deserts are places where grace is needed. And deserts are places where grace is given. Deserts are the places of judgment, of yearning for the promised land that we could have entered earlier, but that because of our stubbornness and rebellion that we missed out on. But this is what Moses said at the very end of the book of Deuteronomy, when he looks back on 40 years in the desert, 40 wasted years in the desert, 40 years that were not necessary if the people had entered the promised land with faith. This is what Moses said about grace in the desert. He said, with your own eyes you saw those great trials, those miraculous signs and great wonders. But to this day the Lord has not given you a mind that understands, or eyes that see, or ears that hear. But during the 40 years that I led you through the deserts, your clothes did not wear out, nor did the sandals on your feet. Grace was given. And when we go to our homes, and when we enter our own country again, we want to hold on to the grace of God. Our clothes will not wear out, and our sandals that keep us going are still there on our feet. So let me invite you to enter the grace story of the Church of the Nazarene in the Netherlands. Let's do it with a song, shall we? In Christ alone, the source of all grace. Forty years ago, the world looked very differently, as you will be able to tell. 40 years ago is 1967. And the Reverend Cor Holleman, just with a small band of people, really felt God telling them that the Netherlands was waiting for the Church of the Nazarene and her message. I think they were like 7 or 8 people all in all. Holland waiting for 7 or 8 people. Well, we have a movie to prove it. Joel?
The Netherlands is considered one of the most densely populated countries in the world. A visitor soon recognizes this fact, especially when he's part of the Rotterdam crowd welcoming the second place Dutch soccer team home from the World Championship game. Or wandering along the canal-bordered shopping street in Amsterdam. Into this setting came the Church of the Nazarene. It was January 1967 that the first Nazarene church in Holland was organized. The personalities included in opening our Dutch work included Gerald Johnson, then district superintendent of the Middle European district. Janine van Beek, a Hollander who was introduced to the Church of the Nazarene in Australia, but who returned to her own country to become a part of the church. A doctor of psychiatry, Dr. William DeVries, and his family were a part of the original 7 charter members of the church.
It was that a church was organized in our home. We hadn't yet a church building, and so we had Bible studies in our home. And at an evening in our home, the church was organized, and my wife and I, we became a member of the church. Well, and the Church of the Nazarene has been a blessing for us. For it isn't the doctrine alone, but it is the experience. Well, we had an experience, and we found church, and well, they gave birth to that experience. And they learned us how to share this experience with other people. And so, with all my heart, I love Church of the Nazarene.
The heart of the Church of the Nazarene in Holland is Cor and Miep Holleman and their 3 children. They were a part of the Seeking 7 who united with the church in the DeVries home in 1967. Cor was a successful salesman in the paper business. in his reach for personal faith, Cor was led into an experience with the Holy Spirit, and eventually to becoming the first Nazarene pastor in Holland.
Holland is just more than windmills and wooden shoes and ditches. It is the land where we found the Lord in a special way. It was a time in our lives that we really came to our wits' end, and that we passed point zero in our spiritual life, and that we were nowhere. And at that point, the most crucial point in our lives, we surrendered ourselves completely to the Lord. And it was in 1962. And since that moment, we prayed for a spiritual home where we could serve the Lord with our new experience. And we found the Church of the Nazarene because of the fact that Miss Van Beek was appointed as a teacher at European Nazarene Bible College, and on her way to Switzerland, she visited the place where we were living. And this occasion, we got acquainted with her, and she told us about the Church of the Nazarene. And we discovered that the doctrine of full salvation and the second blessing was just the experience that we have had 3 years before. So we found the church as an answer to our prayers, because we found that our experience was just fitted in the doctrine of the Church of the Nazarene.
The church was the 7 full-fledged members of the Harlem congregation and their families. The church also became the first floor chapel in the Holloman's new parsonage. In 6 years, the church was to mean a modern, completely equipped building. As Pastor Holloman has said, "I have been aware that our church is not our sanctuary or classrooms. Our church is the men and women, boys and girls."
Now, if you believe that Holland is like this, then you're silly. But as I was watching this movie, it's called Mission Europe, and listening to the testimonies, there was one thing that really struck me in my heart. And that was that several times, there were more testimonies in the longer edition of the movie, but several times these men and women emphasized that the Church of the Nazarene was simply the roof built over their experience with God. And I don't know about you, but walking in the desert of the Dutch society, somehow that communicates to me that I have to put Christ and his indwelling by the Holy Spirit and his transformation first, and then all the other things come second. And looking at these testimonies, after 40 years, it makes me search my heart. Are we true to the calling of Christ? Can he use us for the future of the church here in the Netherlands? Are we fanning the flame of his gift? And I can't shake off these questions, because looking back only makes sense when you're thinking of the future. We're going to sing a number of songs, one after the other, to help us focus on the calling of God, the centrality of Christ, and the experience of the Holy Spirit. Now, grace is not given cheaply. It was the sacrifice of Christ that provided us for us. But grace is not received cheaply either. Many times we receive grace because somehow God allows a wound in our lives that makes us cry. Very often times of grace are times like that tears of pain and sorrow are streaming down our faces. And yet it's a real grace that God is giving in those moments that sends, that changes the direction of our lives and our priorities. I would like you to listen to the grace story of Hans and Hanni Deventer, They come from our Dordrecht church, and they have been part of our church for a long time, and probably some of you know Hans as the one who's involved like with Nasnet and things like that. I would like to invite you to come and to share your grace story with us.
This is Honey's story. She wrote it down, I translated it, and I'm going to share most of it with you because of her knowledge of English, but she'll read part of it. Honey's story. It was the 16th of February 2006 when all of a sudden I got this terrible headache and nausea. I called our doctor, who came right away, talking about miracles, and called an ambulance that brought me to the hospital, where scans showed that I had suffered a brain aneurysm. I was transferred to an academic hospital for surgery right away, the day after the bleeding would be stopped by a clipping of the neck of the aneurysm, a 4-hour brain surgery. It is already a miracle that no permanent damage was done to my nerves or speech, or worse, for they could have died easily that day. Still, there were many difficult moments. I had heavy headaches all the time, and it turned out there was too much pressure inside my skull. In order to fix that, last October I got a shunt. I had really looked forward to that because I was told that after this surgery, the headaches would disappear. But instead, they got worse. So I really lost my courage, and it seemed joy had left me. I could not really enjoy things or be happy. I could only cry, which I often did. Still, there was light. God was there. I did not experience him, but just hung on to the thought that he was there, is there, and will be there. Often I thought, I'm traveling through mountains and valleys to my loving Father, and at the end of my journey, he will be there waiting for me with his loving arms. That goal remained, and I believe he suffered with me and would not leave me. It was kind of a mental survival, made possible because of the experience I had had with God in the past. So I knew who he was, love, pure love, today and tomorrow. Other rays of light were the numerous cards I received, often at the right moment, flowers, cakes even. And I knew I was on the prayer list in church. To know people are praying is a tremendous help. The cards reminded me that people were thinking of me, and even after many months when I thought that they would stop coming, they didn't. It was so special. Still, everything was uncertain, everything but God. Would I get better? Would my best years be behind me? I had been able to do so much. Would it all be over now? I preferred to be at home. It was quiet there, familiar. There were no stimuli there, which was strange for me, because I was always on the road, either for my job in home care or for the church. Would I be able to work again? Would I ever be happy again? But I knew God would never leave me. That was my sole certainty. And there is a psalm that meant a lot to me, and that I have read time and time again in those days. And honey, we'll read it now for you.
I love the Lord, for he heard my voice. He heard my cry for mercy, because he turned his ear to me. I will call on him as long as I live. The cords of death entangled me. The anguish of the grave came upon me. I was overcome by trouble and sorrow. Then I called on the name of the Lord. O Lord, save me. The Lord is gracious and righteous. Our God is full of compassion. The Lord protects the simple-hearted. When I was in great need, he saved me. Be at rest once more, O my soul. For the Lord has been good to you. For you, O Lord, have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling, that I may walk before the Lord in the land of the living.
It was even more beautiful when I realized that my mother, please show the picture, wrote part of this very psalm down for me. And there it is. When I was only 9 years old in 1966, I still have the book in which she wrote it, in Dutch of course. She has passed away last year, but her testimony remains the very same psalm. The headaches have gone, for which I am very grateful. I still need to take care, but life has become livable again. All through these months I have been grateful for the birds in my garden, especially for the one robin that calls me every day. I got to know his sound. He was a sign of God who would and will never leave me.
I was blind.